The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy frosty morn to everybody. Welcome now to the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. This feast probably gives me more hope than anything else except for Easter. And I'd like to share that with you, why I love this feast day so much. This is one of these feast days that only really makes sense in the context of history, and you know how I like to tell you about history. Okay, so allow me just to give you the background. And you've heard this before maybe, but maybe I'll say something new this year. Who knows? Let's find out. Okay, so the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, it dates back to the days of the Spanish conquistadors, particularly Hernan Cortez, who landed at Veracruz in Mexico in the year 1519. Okay, Cortez was outnumbered by the Aztecs 1,000 to 1, with his Spanish and, you know, their guns, outnumbered 1,000 to 1. But within a span of 2 years, he conquered Montezuma and the entire Aztec Empire. How did he do it? The reason he did it was because he was helped by local Tlaxcala Indians who hated the Aztecs. By the hundreds of thousands, they fought alongside the Spanish against the Aztecs. Why'd they hate the Aztecs so much? Because the Aztecs were cruel. They employed a barbaric religion of cannibalism and human sacrifice. They had an 18-month calendar, the Aztecs did. And every month, they sacrificed a different kind of offering to the gods. One month they sacrificed men, the next month they sacrificed women. Another month they sacrificed boys, the next month they sacrificed girls. And they say that as many as 20,000 people, as 40 and 50 people a day, were sacrificed to their bloodthirsty gods. And the people hated them for it. Well, why did the Aztecs believe they had to carry out human sacrifice? Well, I'll tell you a little Aztec myth, okay? And you might find this interesting. The Aztecs believed that they were caught up in a great cosmic struggle between good and evil that was represented by the passing of the seasons. And once upon a time, they say that the sun in the sky went dark, and all the gods gathered together in the darkness, and they built a fire. And the first god who would kill himself by throwing himself into the fire would become the new sun. And the one who did it was a god named Huitzilopochtli. It's a tongue twister. Huitzilopochtli. And became the god of the sun. And the Aztecs believed that if they did not continue to offer sacrifice to Huitzilopochtli, that the sun would go dark again, especially in the days before the winter solstice, especially in the days of mid-December. Well, the Franciscan missionaries tried their best to try to share the faith of these people and tell them they didn't need to kill people and rip out human hearts and engage in cannibalism. Almost no effect. Their faith was very, very deeply held until the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, in 1517, Martin Luther led the Protestant Reformation that took 9 million people away from the church. And in just a few years in Mexico, more than that number were baptized into the church. How did it happen? The greatest evangelizer in history was the Blessed Virgin Mary of Guadalupe. More than Peter, more than Paul, more than St. Francis Xavier, more than St. Patrick, more than anybody, and faster. So to tell you how it had to happen, I have to tell you the little story of Juan Diego and the Blessed Mother of Guadalupe. On the 9th day of December in the year 1531, a little Indian man named Juan Diego was walking through the city of Tenochtitlan, and he heard the most beautiful singing he'd ever heard in his life coming from the top of Tepeyac Hill. He climbed up to the top of Tepeyac Hill, and there he saw a vision of a beautiful woman who said to him, "I am the Mother of God. And you, Juan Diego, you are to go to the bishop and tell him to build me a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill." And so, humble Juan Diego went to the bishop and said, "Bishop, bishop, I just saw a beautiful woman from heaven. She said you're supposed to build a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill." You don't need me to tell you how well that conversation went, okay? I'll listen to you another time. So the next day, Juan Diego sees the woman again. And he says, "But the bishop didn't believe me. I'll need a sign." And she says, "Go to the top of Tepeyac Hill, and there you will find the sign that you need. Take your sign to the bishop and tell him to build me a church on the top of Tepeyac." So he goes up to the top of the hill, and there he finds, in the cold of December, long-stemmed Castilian roses. Absolutely out of season, absolutely out of context. And did you know that when the Aztec royalty sent messages one to another, they would precede their message with a messenger who was carrying flowers? And so Juan Diego says, "Oh, perfect, now he'll believe me. I'm a messenger of a heavenly woman, and here's my sign, a whole garment full of flowers." So he gathers up the flowers in his garment, and he goes to the feet of the bishop, and he says, "Bishop, bishop, I saw a beautiful woman from heaven. She said you're supposed to build a church at the top of Tepeyac Hill, and here's the sign so that you'll believe." And he opens up his garment, and down falls a cascade of long-stemmed Castilian roses. And the bishop falls to his knees in awe and wonder, but not because of the roses, because of the image that had been miraculously imprinted on the cloak of Juan Diego, the image of the Blessed Mother of Guadalupe. Now, the bishop built the church, okay? But it was the image of the Blessed Mother that converted the hearts of the people. The Aztec high priests looked at that image and asked for baptism, because everything in that image was like a codex. It's so deep with imagery, I could talk to you about it for 45 minutes. But the highlights: they believed in a pantheon of gods, the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of the stars, among so many others. And here was a woman eclipsing the sun, standing on the moon, and wearing the stars as a cloak. But she was not the divinity, because right over her abdomen was a four-petaled flower, the Aztec symbol of divinity, north, south, east, west, the four points of a flower, and the symbol of all creation. And around her waist were the black bands of pregnancy that a pregnant Aztec woman would wear. And her hands were folded in prayer, and her head was bowed in adoration at the God who was to be born through her. Her hair was pulled back tightly, as unmarried women wore their hair. Married women wore their hair in braids, hanging one to each side. And so she was the one that had been proclaimed by these missionaries the Virgin Mother of God. Everything that they'd said was true. And they all lined up to be baptized, and all the people with them. And the most amazing thing was the name that she gave, Tlecuatlcupe. Tlecuatlcupe, a Nahuatl word. And when the bishop asked Juan Diego, "What's the woman's name?" And he said, "Her name is Tlecuatlcupe." The bishop fell to his knees and he said, "Ah, Guadalupe, of course." Guadalupe is the name of a Marian shrine in a region of Spain called Extremadura. But that isn't what she said. She said, in Juan Diego's own native language, "My name is Tlecuatlicupe," which means "she who will crush the head of the serpent." Now, the reason why I read this gospel of the visitation of Elizabeth was because of this one line. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting and said, "Most blessed are you among women." Those words are used three times in the Bible. They're used in the book of Judith, they're used in the book of Judges, and they're used here in the Gospel of Luke. They're addressed to three different women, those words. They're addressed to Judith, they're addressed to a woman named Jael, and they're addressed to the Blessed Virgin Mary. What do they all have in common? One thing. They all crushed the head of an enemy in battle. Judith crushed the head of the leader of the Assyrian army. Jael crushed the head of the commander of the Canaanite army. And as is prophesied in the book of Genesis, the Blessed Virgin Mary will be the one who crushes the head of the serpent. There's two reasons why I love the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. The first reason is because it shows that when we cannot rescue ourselves, God comes to our assistance to do what we cannot do. And haven't we been praying for decades, that the bloodthirsty quasi-religion of our time, which is anchored on the almost sacrament of abortion, right? I mean, if it wasn't for abortion, our whole culture with all of its sexual perversion, it would have to come crumbling down. And we've been praying for life and for respect for human life. And God bless us, we're doing our best, but we're not going to be able to do this, not without heavenly intervention. I believe that's going to happen. And just like the head of the serpent was crushed by the woman, I believe she's going to be the vanguard of the respect for human life that will one day encompass the whole world. That's the first reason why I believe that I find so much hope. Here's the second. It's because she doesn't act alone. She acts with our cooperation. Do you know what Juan Diego said to the Blessed Mother when she said, "Go take this sign to the bishop"? He said, "Blessed Mother, I don't believe I am the right man to do this." And she said, looking him in the eye, "I have chosen you. You go do your part." I believe that's what God says to all of us. Don't despair in the times in which you live. Don't fret at the monumental evil, the rivers of blood, the seemingly hopeless and helpless condition in which we find ourselves. Continue to pray, continue to have hope, continue to have confidence in God, and remember this: God has chosen you, and all you have to do is go and do your part. Let's ask for the prayers of our Blessed Mother to help us today. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.